Friends, the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain on him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, at this time of the year, we enter ordinary time where we look at the very first part of Jesus' ministry of building our world anew, of creating a new world. And it's interesting to see that as the very first book of the Bible begins with the words "in the beginning" that recounted and discussed the creation of the world, John's gospel announcing the person and mission of Christ begins the same way, "in the beginning." In other words, we have creation and we have redemption, the new creation. And this work, it clearly comes through in numerous passages in the New Testament. And it's all the work of the Holy Spirit with whom we are baptized. Chapter 3 of John's Gospel, he says, "Do not be amazed that I told you, Nicodemus, you must be born from above or born again." Paul says, "Whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, new things have come." Speaking of us, so listen to these words from yourself, born again, a new creation. Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy gave us a new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ." So we're talking about another kind of birth, obviously not as Nicodemus wondered, going into the womb and being born again, but rather a new kind of spiritual birth, a spiritual entrance into a new world. Paul speaks about, in Ephesians, tells us to put on the new self created in God's way of righteousness, holiness, and truth. So think of these words that apply to our very life and existence here. New creation, new birth, born anew, the new self as opposed to the old self. God has set things in a new direction, given us a new door, opened new doors to us, provided a new beginning. So this is what we are faced with. This is the truth about the Christian message. All of this is the work of the Holy Spirit. And I don't think any of us have a problem understanding how Jesus, in his life, death, and resurrection, and sending the Holy Spirit, has given humanity in general a new start because we've been reconciled with God. He's come as our Savior. And I don't think we see difficulty in how that applies to us, helped us to heal divisions that separate us as human beings. But what we might not have a grip on is concretely, what does this mean for me? Concretely and specifically, how does this apply to my life? That I am a new creation, that I am born anew. And so there's multiple ways to go, but I can think of a few directions that we should consider. First, it means that often we are so used to our Christian life, we don't think about the newness and the fact that it is the work of God in us. We're blunted to the very spiritual life we're leading by its constant familiarity. I don't know if you've seen the series of commercials about car air fresheners. And they talk about being nose blind to bad smells that you're used to. And so someone who has pets in the cars all the time would think the car smells fine, but then someone that comes to the car that's never been in before, and then they switch to a scene where you have a car that's like a giant shaggy dog driving down the street. I don't know if you've seen that before or not, but or they people that have play sports a lot and there's basketballs and sneakers and stuff in the car, they think it smells fine. Other people, it turns into a giant school bus coming back from a football game. You might have one where you have bubbling green chemical waste dump. Whatever it is, that hasn't been done yet. That's my idea. We'll see how far that goes. In any event, we can become spiritually nose blind to the Christian life we lead and don't think about it as the working of God, as a new birth. We're so used to living in Christ, being baptized from the infancy for many of us, and growing up in a Christian community. Many of us have grown up in a civil community that bears the shreds of its Christian culture and heritage. And people who have come into the church from other Christian communities have themselves been brought up in a Christian way of life and in deep faith. And so, we don't realize that we are more than what we can naturally do. We believe more than we naturally can. We are doing more than we can naturally do by our simple created nature. Remember, John says, rather, the Spirit is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. Okay, by flesh, he means our natural created self. We can't lift ourselves up by the bootstraps and reestablish a relationship with God. And in fact, that relationship was never our work. It was a gift from God from the beginning. Okay, we are living more than we can naturally do. We're loving more than we can naturally love. And that is all because of the working of God in us. That is true of your life and mine. Okay? We as believers are living a supernatural life by the power of the Spirit. We are new creations. We have a new self. So it's important to understand where we stand right now. Okay? Where we stand with these truths. Unfortunately, our world seems utterly out of touch with this new life, with traditional family values, with ethics and even manners. It seems out of touch with a grip on how life should actually work and actually does work, lives in a bubble. We're emotionally out of control, and it's often because they lack this new creation and the fundamental values, the common sense values that shaped our nation and helped to propel us to the level of success that we have is, compared to world history, is lacking. And sadly, not only does our world often despise it, they reject it, mock it, and target it for destruction. Now, we need to be aware of those forces. We need to be aware of the people that despise our way of life and stand up for ourselves and be strong in defending it. Well, secondly, once we become aware of the fact that we are already born anew, that we are already living the Christian life, that we are already loving God and believing and living more than what we can naturally do, we need to be intentional about feeding it and growing it. That's important, okay? It'll work. Just, you've probably seen my little garden out there with tomatoes and other things. They do well because, I'm lucky, I guess, but also I take care of it. I put good humus in the soil. I prune them. Break up the ground so when it rains, the water seeps down, and those kind of things. And they grow and mature as any garden will if we give it the proper care. The same is true of the new life that we have received. We need to do that. We need to grow it and feed it by prayer. By fervent participation in Mass, time for private prayer, prayer before bed, prayer before when we get up, prayer, grace before meals, and those kind of things. Reading the Bible, studying the catechism, studying the lives of the saints, being absorbed in religious art and the beauty it brings into our life. All these things feed and grow our faith. We also need to protect our faith from what is toxic to it. And the most toxic thing is sin. What better way is there to get rid of, to help something grow than to get rid of what is toxic to it? And we need to make a conscious choice, an intentional choice, to keep advancing and overcoming what is wrong in our life. It takes time, takes patience, but it will work. We know what's wrong. Our world, knows what's wrong. It knows the Christian message. And it needs also to know that to think something that's wrong is right, often because it's difficult to keep, doesn't make it right. Just because the moral teaching of the church is difficult doesn't mean we can just say, oh, well, then I guess if I decide not to do it, it's okay. But our whole world around us is doing that. We have to realize that God has given us a truth to live by. It's not the opinion of men. It is the word of God coming down to us through scripture and tradition in the church. And if we think we can ignore it, we aren't going to make life easier. What we're going to be is out of touch with reality. Just as if I could wish the sun would rise in the west and set in the east, I can wish that till I'm blue in the face. It's not going to change that fact. And there are certain facts about human nature and the human world in which we live and its moral character that are just as objectively true. And if we don't heed them, we're also out of touch with reality. So, hear the message, live it, and then be a witness for the world that has lost touch with these truths that actually are saving, even though for a time they might be challenging. Last, and this is what I think is really interesting. If we are a new creation, if we have a new birth, if we are born anew and have a new self, all this biblical language, we should be on the lookout for God to do something new in our life. Pope Francis is big on calling God the God of surprises, and he doesn't mean, bad surprise, that something's disastrous, although God can work through that too, which we'll get to in a minute. But he means good surprises. We need to be on the lookout. If we're new, God will continue to make things new. New in the Greek doesn't mean like fresh spot or something that's historically new. It means different. It means unprecedented, something that's unheard of. And so, we should be on the lookout for that. It could be big, it could be small. It could come from within, or circumstances might impose it. But if it is really God, it is really good. And we have to be ready for the challenges and struggles that that may occasion. Anything good is worth the effort. And we can't fall back from these new opportunities that God can bring about in our life simply because they are challenging. Consider this. It's a human foible. Israel longed to be free from slavery in Egypt. Okay, you know that, I'm sure. We read in the very beginning of Exodus, the Israelites groaned under their bondage and cried out. And from their bondage, their cry for help went up to God. God heard their moaning, and God was mindful of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw the Israelites, and God knew. Okay? So he does send Moses to free them. He heard their moans. They believed that they would get a new land and be a whole nation. And now they're, these miserable slaves. And Moses came, brought them out of Egypt, as well we know. And yet, in the desert, they lost nerve. We read in the book of Numbers, the people complained against God and Moses. Why have you brought us up from Egypt to die in the wilderness where there is no food or water? And there's many other complaints we can see in the early books of Scripture. They lost their nerve for the great possibility of freedom and a new nationhood that God would lead them to, that God promised them. And we can't lose our nerve when it comes to the good things that God can be doing. Be on the lookout for these surprises of God, something new from God. Now, there can also be something new from God in the midst of pain and struggle. Things happen in our lives that can be very difficult. It could simply be getting a cold when you don't want one, like I have, and pretty much through it, but no fun. Or it could be a very serious thing. It could be something that's tragic, And it could be something that's very painful. And the thing is, God is big enough, powerful enough, infinite enough to bring good out of that, to do something new from the ashes of a very painful and difficult experience. And we have to be ready for that. And that should be a question we ask. So many times in funerals, I've been to in tragic ones, you know, and it's so natural to ask, why is this happening to me? And all those things, that's basically just a question that comes to mind. But what God wants us to do is try to move through that a little bit to come to the question of telling God, asking God, what can we do to bring good out of this? How can we bring good out of it? And that's also something new that comes from our being a new creation and our being born again by water and the Spirit. So we have a lot to be thankful for in this newness of God, in what Jesus came to do. New creation, new life, that's another expression. A new self, you know, born again. Okay, so we need to know where we stand. Okay, already stand. We are already believers. We need to feed and protect and grow this new life we've been given constantly. And we need to be prepared for something new and amazing that God only can do.